and Pixar's Steve Jobs accused Katzenberg of stealing the idea for DreamWorks' animated feature, Ants, from the latest Pixar project, A Bug's Life. Pixar had been talking about A Bug's Life before Katzenberg left Disney, though Katzenberg maintained he'd never heard of it. A DreamWorks film executive, Nina Jacobson, who had no knowledge of the Pixar project, first suggested Ants. Then Katzenberg had had the audacity to move the release date for Ants ahead of A Bug's Life. Stanley Gold viewed the approaching trial as an impending train wreck. He repeatedly urged Eisner to settle, even though it was obvious that this wasn't advice Eisner wanted to hear. Even Litvak, who had helped derail the earlier Ovitz brokered settlement, now pushed for a settlement. At their lawyer's behest, Eisner and Katzenberg met to try to resolve the dispute, but the meeting quickly descended into acrimony, and Katzenberg walked out. At another point, Katzenberg appealed directly to Disney board member Tom Murphy, who spoke to Eisner. Lawyers for the two sides again met to negotiate, but Katzenberg was furious that Disney's lawyers wouldn't budge. His lawyer, Bert Fields, said he wasn't going to waste any more time on settlement talks. Finally, Gold reached out to David Geffen. Though he didn't know Geffen, Gold urged him to call Bruce Raymer, his former partner at the law firm of Gang Tier, who was Steven Spielberg's lawyer. "Ask Bruce if my word is good," Gold urged him. After talking to Raymer, Geffen agreed to meet with Gold, and Gold visited him at his Malibu beach house. He was surprised to discover that he was comfortable with Geffen. Geffen summarized the case from Katzenberg's point of view, emphasizing the many ways that Eisner had mistreated him. He stressed that Katzenberg was determined to go to trial and that he would win. Much of what he heard from Geffen was news to Gold. Thus far, he'd only heard Eisner's point of view. For the first time, he began to wonder if everything Eisner had told him was accurate. Gold told Geffen that Disney maintained that its maximum additional liability was $30 million. Geffen said he'd take $150 million. Gold said he couldn't get there. "I want to settle this, but I don't think I can sell the deal," he said. "Stanley, let me assure you it will cost you more the next time," Geffen insisted. "This is the lowest that the number is ever going to be." The trial date arrived with no resolution. Katzenberg was the first witness. He was calm on the stand, recounting the history of his employment contract and the origins of the bonus provision. He described the crucial meeting with Wells when Wells said Eisner had a misunderstanding about Katzenberg's contract, but that he would take care of it. His lawyers introduced numerous documents to support his position. The contract itself, notes taken by Arthur Emel, Katzenberg's lawyer in the salary negotiations, Wells's notes, a copy of the notes Irwin Russell took of his 1988 conversation with Wells about Katzenberg's contract. The portly, aging Russell was Disney's first witness. His demeanor was nervous and uncomfortable. Asked about the language in his notes confirming that Katzenberg's bonus would continue even if he left before the end of his contract, Russell testified that he had forgotten to write the word loses before the word bonus. "These were very quick notes strictly for my own purposes," he testified. "You had enough time to write the word loses," Fields injected. "Maybe, maybe not," Russell said. Eisner was the star witness. As his testimony began,